It's Tuesday, 3rd of November. It's time to get your grid on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world with gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hiya.
Winx.
Hey.
And Velt.
Hello.
People changing their names on Discord, throwing my name orders out. Anyway. We've got a number of things to talk about this week. But first, as always, on this very important day in America, which the rest of the world is just getting annoyed with Twitter about, what's everyone been playing this past week? Rhodes, take us away.
Oh, what a surprise. You've picked me first. I'm playing some Baldur's Gate 3. I was given a preview copy by our Game Grin overlord, Mr. Ace Lister over there. And I spent about 5 days trying to get it to work. Did all of the necessary rantings about why the game's a bag of wank and it's the fucking worst thing in the world. And I realised my hard drive had failed. And I was the problem. And Baldur's Gate 3 is actually really good. And there's not actually any issues with it. but no, it's a really good game. It's early access, but it's about 25, 30 hours long. That's what I put into it. That's like your main story, which is the first act, all of the first act, that is. And then a bit of side stuff. I didn't do all of the side stuff because I didn't want to get myself burnt out on it too much. But it's a really good game. It's a really good video gamification, I should say, of Dungeons & Dragons. It brings in the dice rolling mechanics really well, but it does enough without making you hate dice rolling. Because I don't know about you guys, like I hate seeing a fucking dice roll in a video game. So I'm just like, nah, don't be like that. Come on. But it does a lot. Like it gives you a lot of power to overcome the dice rolling, I guess you could say. Like when you go into battles and stuff, like if you plan it out properly and like actually give the area a good look around, like you can get ahead of the curve where even a bad dice roll isn't going to affect you that much. So as long as you like put your effort into making a good party and planning out your attacks that you're going to do, generally you're all right. Kind of a bit like D&D, really. Like as long as you're sensible with your ideas, you can overcome and shouldn't be getting too angry at dodgy dice rolls. But yeah, it's a good experience. I think people should definitely check it out.
I'm definitely team dice roll for sure. Sorry.
Team dice roll.
You like dice rolls in video games?
Yeah. Physics. It's good.
I mean, it's not an actual dice roll. Like, it just gives you a number. does that make it worse or better? I don't know. Like
worse. If there's going to be dice in the game, you need to, like Mario Party style. You need to see the
yes.
Dice. Yeah.
So what should happen is your Baldur's Gate character should be there, and then a dice, a big like inflatable die, should just be above their head, revolving, and when it stops, they jump up and hit it with their hands like Mario would.
Imagine how meta that would be if you could just summon a dice that exactly. Rolled in the game.
Fantastic.
I ain't got time for that. That's awful.
But, I've heard the character creator in Baldur's Gate 3 is really good.
It's not fully fleshed out yet, but it is quite good. You make you, obviously, whatever you want to be.
If you want.
Or you can be like a sexy elf lady, I don't know, whatever the kids do nowadays. But yeah, it's quite good. Like... It's weird because it's limited because it's not complete yet, but it's still quite good despite being limited. Like it's really odd. But once everything is fully put in there, you'll lose yourself in that character creator for fucking ages because there's so many decisions to make. You know, it's not just about the creating of the visual side of the character. There's your class, your race. Most races have like a secondary race that you pick within the race. Some classes have a secondary class that you pick within the class, and you know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're making your character. Obviously, I'm a basic bitch, so I was just a rogue. You know, I don't do any of that complicated shit. I'm not about that life.
You're about the bad life.
I can't sing. I wouldn't do it justice. I get nervous when I have to perform. But yeah, it's a good game. I think people should check it out. Obviously, if you want like the full course, you probably wait for it all to come out. I think they're doing Act 2 and Act 3, they've said, are coming out next year. I don't know when that is. That could be December 31st, 2021. could be January 1st, 2021. Who knows? But it's definitely worth a go. You definitely get your money's worth if you got it now, but you just wouldn't get the full whack yet, is all.
And then it might increase in price upon launch.
I don't know. Is it? I feel like it's already full price, is it not?
Might be. I honestly haven't looked into it.
I know that when it launched, it crashed Steam for a bit, didn't it? Because it was so popular that it put Steam out of business for a bit. Well, not out of business, but...
Didn't realise that.
Yeah,
it bankrupted Steam for 5 minutes and then they got money back. It was fine.
Steam had nothing. It's £50 currently, which would be like $60 or whatever. It's
probably full price then. I wouldn't expect it to go up in price at that point.
Maybe they'll bump it up to 70, same line with the new gen consoles. Shit,
yeah, that's a point that you've hit on there. They might do that.
Yeah.
A critical hit on my wallet.
Oh, D1, hey. Mate. But yeah, outside of that, not really a lot. I played quite a bit of Phasmophobia for our horror fans out there. It scares the fucking shit out of me because I play it with plebs, quite frankly, who just stand outside in the van because they're scared. And then I get locked in the house with the creepy ghost crawling on the floor. And I'm like, fuck yous. I don't. Fuck. I've got no words for it. It's a good game. It's made by, I think, one person. Like, if you've not seen it and you like scary things, especially if you like playing scary things with people, definitely worth it checking out. I think it's four player. You can definitely glitch it to get like 100 players in a server. Don't know why you would. Sounds a bit shit, but can do that if it's your kettle of fish. Kettle of fish? That's not right, is it?
Kettle of fish is not right. So what you're saying is that it could be a battle royale.
It could be a battle royale where you try and get everyone else killed by the ghost, I guess.
That would be a fun way to play Phasmophobia.
Is there a fun way of playing Phasmophobia? That's the question I've got. You know, but no, it is good for something that's made by one person. It's really good. It's quite a little polished as well, to be fair. And they're adding or continuing to add stuff to it. So yeah, if you're looking for some late Halloween spooks, it's definitely one to check out.
For more information about Phasmophobia, check out the Game Grin review, which I believe is live. I can't remember what score it got.
I think it was a preview, was it not?
Was it?
I think maybe. I think it's like Baldur's Gate. I think it's in early access.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. So it doesn't have a score.
So don't check out the score.
But you can play it in both VR and non-VR. So it is awful in VR. Don't do it. It's actually fucking terrifying. I've seen terrifying.
GIFs of reactions to it in VR.
It's not good.
Falling over, just screaming their heads off. Yeah.
It was fine in VR the first time I tried it, right? And the second time I tried it, well, like, I say fine, like it was still a bit spooky and scary, but I was used to the game. But they added this ghost that crawls on the floor, and I didn't know when I was trying it in VR. And like you get this little sound effect, but like you know, like it's near you, like you hear like a little heartbeat sound. But I was looking like around me, I'm like, where is it? And then my friend was just like, oh, look on the floor. And I was like, oh, what's on the floor? And I was like, oh, it's a fucking creepy little girl. Hooray. And then that was it. I'd never played it again.
Okay. Since you're next on the list in Discord, Winx, why don't you take it with your games?
So, yes, Rhodes, I too was bestowed a key of
preview.
Yes. So I got some reviewing Pacer. So I've been playing Pacer all week. It's a spiritual successor to the Wipeout series, the classic PlayStation anti-gravity racer. And I don't know. It's got a lot of name and talent behind the early days of the franchise, but it doesn't feel like, I don't know, like the reunion tour that I think I was expecting. Like I was expecting.
That's because something. Roll Cage was better.
Oh, well, I gotta check that out. Okay. The classic Roll Cage, huh?
Well, yeah. One was Roll Cage, man. What do you know? It's that famous bridge between Pacer and Wipeout.
Well, Pacer, I don't know about Pacer. I'm still playing at it. I think it's competent, it's good at what it does, but I I got the review copy, that was the word I was looking for, just before it released. So I got to play a bit of the beta beforehand. And there were some really interesting and cool elements from the beta that I thought was going to be implemented into the future game, of which was kind of taken out. So it kind of took me aback.
That's weird.
I know. And so I'm just, it kind of watered down the experience a bit for me when the final release came. And it was kind of also a bit bizarre. A lot of features that were in the beta was like taken out, which I guess, I don't know. It was just, it was quite bizarre. I won't get into it because I want to leave that for the review, but a lot of quality of life stuff, a lot of like UI stuff, and even just general gameplay, like little bits and details kind of just were missing.
Was there any reason they took it out? Did they say it was just gone?
No idea. And probably just wasn't part of their vision, I guess, but
strange.
It's very strange, but again, there are some interesting new takes on the original formula. But there's definitely a lot of tweaking that needs to be done under the hood. No pun intended, or all puns intended.
Depends on whether you like puns.
Yeah. If you're allergic to puns, I'm sorry. Okay, you need to get a shot. So yeah, that's all I've been playing. Literally just Pacer.
Okay, and Velt.
Played a few things. Like you mentioned before, Phasmophobia, it was Halloween, so me and some of my flatmates had a bit of a Halloween party kind of thing. So we played a bit of Phasmophobia, which was my first time actually playing the game. And I only played it for a little bit, and I didn't die, which is interesting. So I don't know whether I played it wrong, because it wasn't really scary. I was just sort of there, like, okay. I kind of treated it like a normal game, I guess. No, I was actually in the house, but I was treating it like as a puzzle game. So I had the sort of, because obviously you've got the objectives, and I was like, oh, so I just do this objective and then this one, and then I've got to use these items and then figure out what the spirit is, whatever the monster is that's in there. And I just kind of didn't really see it as a horror game, which is interesting. Because I didn't find anything scary about it. We were in like a scary house, I suppose. But I was just sort of more detective hat than scared civilian hat. I don't know. I found that quite interesting.
Clearly, you don't play Phasmophobia with people who stand in the doorway shouting the ghost name to piss them off, then leaving as the door locks.
No, I don't. I also played a bit of Among Us. That was really fun. That game has gone from like strength to strength this year, hasn't it? I think it's one of the biggest games of the year, even though it wasn't even released this year, and it's only a tiny little indie game made by a handful of people.
It really seemed like the memes went from Fall Guys immediately to Among Us and blew up.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty much. I just find it very, very interesting. It's a fun game. Played a specific way on it. We played that again on Halloween, and we played it so that I think someone had mentioned that what we should do is we should all know who the murderer is, give the murderer reduced sight, but let them just kill as much as possible. So you had to like run away. So it was like a sort of slasher movie version of Among Us that we were playing, which made it a bit more Halloween-y, but a lot more fun because we were like in chat going, he's over there! Run away! Super, super stupid, but a lot of fun. I've been playing a bit more Final Fantasy 14. I've finished the free trial, basically, on that. I've got a class up to level 60, which is essentially the stopping point. But I don't have any money, so I can't really afford to continue with the story, unfortunately. But one of these days, I'm sure towards the end of the month, I think I get a bit of money, so I'll probably will invest more into that game. I'm enjoying it a lot more. I think I've been saying with some of the people that I've been playing it with, the base game of Final Fantasy 14 is not great. Like the story is really boring and it's not really interesting. But then as soon as you get to the DLC bits of the game, that's when I guess it kind of becomes its own thing.
I think Nikki said something similar when you first started playing, that once you hit Heavenswood, it really went up a level.
Yeah, I mean, Heavenswood is in the free trial. Like, you get the whole of the base game and Heavenswood with the free trial. And it's obvious immediately when you've hit Heavenswood due to how much the story ramps up, and how interesting the story just becomes, and how the gameplay and even the dungeons and stuff like that become more involved. It really feels like they had a base game and then they've just improved it so much that it's kind of ridiculous. But I assume we'll talk more about Final Fantasy later, just based on other things. And I also played a game I got for review, which I don't know how much I can talk about it on this family-friendly podcast.
Family-friendly?
We are a family and we are friendly.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said.
I know. So the game I was playing is called Nyan Cafe Macchiato. Sexy Times at the Cat Cafe. It's a visual novel, and on top of that, it's sort of a what my friend would refer to as an H game. So I guess sort of pornographic at times, and have issues. I've been writing about it for review, which is, you know, all fine and dandy. So I'm not going to talk about it too much. That review has been finished today. But my biggest issues with the game, as far as I can see, is that, so when you start the game, a big attention sign comes up on the screen and it says, attention, this game has acts in it that are not suitable for all ages, such as comedy violence, alcohol drinking, alcohol consumption, sexual assault, and incest.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, that escalated from comedy violence to incest very fucking quickly.
That is genuinely the worst shopping list I've ever heard.
And then at the bottom, it then says, but this is a reminder that all of the characters, all of the human-like characters in the game are 18 plus. And if you feel uncomfortable with any of the themes as discussed above, then you are agreeing that this game is not for you.
You said human. So
that's implying that it says human-like. Right. It's specifically, in quotations, human-like characters.
So are there cat girls in this game?
Sort of.
And do they go by the rule of, like, cat years or human years? Because 18 in cat years is, like, over 100 something. And then...
Yeah.
That's some math there. I don't know.
So the story is you're a sort of student teacher, which is already red lights.
Yeah.
You're a teacher, but you're not yet a teacher, is the thing. You're like in a school doing, I guess, work experience or something. And your apartment gets burnt down, and then you have to end up living in your granddad's cafe, who he serves almost entirely cats in it. Hence the cat cafe. It's not, it's weird. And three girls at your school that you teach, who are students, which then is the reason why I question if they are actually 18, decide to help you out with this. And on the same day that they decide to help you out with it, also decide that it's the best idea to tell you that they're in love with you. And then triggered the sex scene.
Okay. Worth noting, perhaps, is in Japan, you do attend school until you're 18.
Okay, that's good to know. Also, age of consent laws are different in Japan as well. And it is set in Japan. It's specifically, I'm pretty sure it's specifically set in Japan.
I'm sure there's cat cafes in Kidlington.
There is one in Nottingham.
Probably are. There's a cat cafe here, I think, as well. Right, I'm impressed. But I think it specifies that it is in Japan, and the names are all the names are Japanese. The names of the three girls that are sort of major characters are all cat puns, and they all start with the word Neko, which is Japanese for cat. There's a lot of sort of cat puns in yeah, I don't know.
So if you didn't like Winx's puns, do not play this game.
If you don't like puns, cats, and you don't like having sex with school children,
God,
maybe don't buy Nyan Cafe Macchiato.
Basically, Velt's advertisement for the game there was, if you're not a paedophile, don't buy it. And he's just ruined the game's like marketing completely.
To be fair, the game at the opening says, if you find having sex with school children obscene, you should not buy this game.
What? You cannot start anything with children. That line.
Wow. Screen cap that.
Oh, that's a red flag. What
it
is that?
Specifically say school children. But it does say if you find any of the themes in this game obscene, it's probably not for you in some way or other. And then also goes on to say, they are definitely 18 plus.
You have to say that because otherwise your game's going to be taken off the internet.
It should be taken off the internet anyway.
Yes.
I don't think any of the games I've been playing this week could top that. I've returned to Yakuza Kiwami after a few weeks off of that. It's insane Japanese, of course, but not quite the same way.
Not quite the same way now.
Star Trek Online, I've got the latest giveaway thing, so I've scaled back how much I'm playing that. Because I think I may have mentioned you get dilithium that you have to refine into usable dilithium. You can only refine 8,000 a day. And because of all the missions that I've been playing recently, I have so much dilithium that it's going to take me several months to refine it all. Doing 8,000 a day. So I've scaled back how much I'm playing that, so I don't keep getting this dilithium. I'll return to doing odds and sods around the game eventually once my dilithium levels go down past 500,000. Simpsons Tapped Out, still plugging through the Treehouse of Horror event that's ongoing, where hell has come to Springfield and Bart and Lisa are going to Hell Elementary School.
Ooh. That's good. I like that.
Puns.
Bart is getting good grades and Lisa is not.
That makes sense.
Also, one of the demons looks like Mo, and there is a Devil Mo character. Not quite sure how to process that. But Hard Space Shipbreaker has had a spooky Halloween update where it's a game where you have to, I've spoken about it before, but it's been a while. You are in a spacesuit. You have been given a cutting laser and a tool that uses magnets or whatever to move bits of the ship around. You have to sort it into processing the furnace and bits that you need to keep, such as computers and chairs. This updates basically when you get on board the ship, you can repressurize it so you don't use up your suit's oxygen. And because of this haunted ships update, there are certain ships that will start to decompress or just open straight into space and explosively decompress. Doors will open and close at random. It's quite spooky. Even your radio has a static constantly going in it, so it's all a very spooky atmosphere. It's very well done. Quite enjoying it. They aren't actually haunted because you find these AI modules that you need to destroy or dump in the furnace. not sure what happens if you don't do that. I don't think anything really, but yeah, I'm still enjoying Hard Space Shipbreaker, but it's something that I like to play while I've got YouTube running on the other screen. So while I'm flying along, I can I have something going on. Dauntless also had a Halloween update, which ended yesterday. I admittedly didn't play the Halloween missions because I just didn't get around to it. But I did collect some of the currency that was available and trade it into Oz, a new character who sells you event specific. I imagine it'll be back at Christmas to sell as Christmas, like antlers and whatever. And as soon as I met him in the game, I thought, yeah, if I was going to call him anything, I'd have called him Oz. If someone shows me this character design, I'm like, yep, that's Oz.
Well, that's Oz, definitely.
Final thing I've been playing is Time to Stop Time, which I'm reviewing for the site. You are a super soldier. You have been given the mission to stop the virus, which spreads across the world and kills 7 billion people in 2008.
Oh, God.
sent back from the year 2042 or whatever.
2020? Are you sure it's not set back from the year 2020?
No, no. By the year 2020, over 7 billion people had been wiped out, so...
Oh.
But yes, through shenanigans, you are sent back to the Middle Ages, and then you're sent to 1942, and then you just bounce all over the place. There's 40 levels, and in each one you're given a specific, you need to kill this many enemies, rescue this many people, and maybe like disarm a bomb. Or as soon as you enter the level, people notice you, they start to attack, then you slow time to a crawl. You don't stop time, you do get that ability to stop time, but then it uses your energy. When you run out of energy, time resumes, you fail or win. Or if you run out of time, which is a separate thing, because you can get energy drinks to refill your energy, it resumes time and you either fail, or if you've completed all the objectives, you win. Like destroy 2 helicopters plus 3 tanks plus this many enemies. You participate in a kind of D-Day landing, like you are on one of those ships that you'll have seen in Saving Private Ryan. The door opens and then suddenly there's planes dropping, carpet bombing you, and troops shooting you and tanks firing on you. Jeez. Time slows down and then you can grab these bombs, throw them at people. And it's quite fun, but it's not due out for a few more days. It needs some tinkering. It keeps getting like the odd gigabyte updates because the level I'm currently stuck on, I keep running out of energy and like weapons to use to kill the enemies, because as you progress you come across enemies that can move the same speed as you, like they're moving at super speed, like it seems you're moving at super speed. Of course, one of them is a Nazi monster, so but there's also Terminator style robots, and you know,
which type of Terminator?
The T-500, 800, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one,
not the liquidy guy,
no, not yet at least. Also, some bits of it are really odd because at one point you have to save President Kennedy from being assassinated.
What?
The level, Kennedy is in a 2-seater car instead of the 4-seater car which he was assassinated from. There, a bullet comes from a tall building somewhere. You cannot access this building. There is no grassy knoll in sight. However, nearby, as time is slow, you can pluck bullets out of the air, so you can rescue Kennedy pretty easily. But there's a fast food restaurant nearby, and inside it has those touch screen order things.
What?
In 1962,
what?
Dallas.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's not factually correct. Also, the same one actor does all the voices.
Great. That's all. That's instantly the greatest thing I've heard about this game.
It's terrible, but also it's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of terrible but amazing, our news stories this week include PlayStation Plus Collection, the thing that was announced a few weeks ago by Sony. They finally told us what's in the PlayStation Plus Collection, which is going to be available on the PlayStation 5. There's a number of Sony games, as well as some third-party games. The full list is, 30 games? About that.
Just want to take their moment to appreciate your segue. That was pretty fantastic.
I've posted the list to you guys. So, what out of there catches your fancy? Is any of this going to convince you to get the PlayStation Plus collection with your PlayStation 5?
Well, it looks like it's a really good service, like a great invitation to those who have like skipped this console generation, or at least the PS5, at least. It's a great way to get for Sony to try and compete with Game Pass, at least. Mm. Really good incentive to purchase a PS5, but I'm still not really sold yet. So like, I look at these lists of games and I can see it's really impressive, but I don't see it just me justifying buying another console just so I can have something extra for my PlayStation Plus collection, but I can see it as a really good investment in the future.
The thing I don't understand, or I think could be a mistake, is that they've put Bloodborne in there. And when like their big launch title is Demon's Souls, it feels weird to give away what is essentially a Souls game for free with the console anyway. Because most people will have PlayStation Plus, so you assume that most people will be downloading these games or the ones they haven't tried. Demon's Souls is Demon's Souls one of the games that's £70 on launch, I think?
Yes.
Are people going to pay £70 for this remake of a game on the PS3, or are they going to just download a free version of Bloodborne, which was like one of the highest acclaimed games on the PlayStation 4? Like, it seems a bit short-sighted to me.
Well, they're going to finish Bloodborne eventually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, true. Well, I feel like most people don't, but maybe.
it's interesting that they've got Persona 5 and Fallout 4. Yeah. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
I don't think Persona 5 is that weird a pick there, because it's a PlayStation exclusive game, and I think Persona 5 Royal is the highest rated Sony PlayStation 4 exclusive game at this point in time. The only thing beating it, I think, is GTA 5.
Mm.
But Fallout 4 is pretty weird.
Why the base Persona 5 and not Royal?
Yeah, that's the question. I don't know.
They still want Royal to get the money in, won't they? Because it's a newer version.
I guess it's still selling because it's a game from this year is Royal, whereas Persona 5 is from 2017.
Right, I see that.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's a lot of really good games on this list. If I was getting a PS4, PS5, which I'm not currently at this point in time, I think there's a few games I would be interested in playing. If it's all included within just the PS Plus price and there's no extra price on it, I'd absolutely for sure be happy to play through Detroit Become Human and see that what kind of mess that game is. I haven't played Arkham Knight, so that could be interesting. I'd play through Persona 5 again probably. I haven't played Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy either. I'd probably play through that, probably give that a go.
I think the games are part of the Worldwide Studios aren't the best exclusives they had. I think God of War is fantastic. I feel like everyone has played The Last of Us at this point.
Probably. Although a lot of people probably haven't, thinking about it. Because you'd have to have had a PS3 and a PS or a PS4 to play it. Mm. So if you'd never had a PS3 or a PS4 and you bought an Xbox 360, which, to be fair, a lot of people bought an Xbox 360 and not a PS3. That's why The Last of Us Remastered exists in the first place.
Yeah, but significantly more people bought a PS4 than
an
Xbox One, though. And like the Last of Us Remastered was like the big one that people were like, oh yeah, I'm going to play this now, finally.
I've just realized the first The Last of Us has been on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and is now going to be on PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Just like GTA.
just you wait till you get Jack and Daxter, which has been on the PS2, the PS3, and the PS4, and that'll be on the PS5 as well, I imagine.
And maybe eventually.
Yeah. I'm here waiting for the Knack collection.
I'm not going to buy a PS5. One of these days it'll happen.
We demand Knack 3.
We don't want Knack 3, please.
We don't.
It's not a cult we want to start on this podcast. We've got enough of them.
The cult of Knack. All is one and one is all. Join us.
Please.
Well, if you did want to join us, you could also join us in No Man's Sky when it launches on the next generation of consoles.
This guy, look at this. Damn. Unbelievable. That was more seamless than the transition between worlds on Hello Games and No Man's Sky.
Oh, Hello Games have put out a trailer showcasing some of the features of the next generation of No Man's Sky, which is not the name of the new update, although I suppose technically it is a bit of an update because they're updating the graphics. It's going to be cross-play with all previous, with all platforms, apparently. 32-player, the players can meet up and potter around the place. I don't know what multiplayers do on No Man's Sky. I haven't met anyone.
Dogging. Interstellar dogging.
I guess they could. Maybe.
You guys,
we're corrupting Winx.
I'm sorry.
Do I think Winx is corrupting us?
Yeah,
that's more likely.
It did give me like Star Citizen vibes, the trailer, although it actually exists. I mean, Star Citizen exists, but you can actually play this game. So I think
there's no proof that Star Citizen actually exists.
It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah.
The thing with No Man's Sky is it's turned itself around so much. But I can never get over just that launch. It's one of the weirdest games I've ever seen. Like, so poorly received when it launched. It was so disappointing. Everyone hated it. And now everyone loves it because the turnaround has been unbelievable. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Will we ever see anything like it again?
Maybe not.
So something from the trailer that stands out to me is the vast base building. It shows a little snippet of running around on a base, and it's massive, and that's what I want.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's the episode title. It's massive, and that's what I want.
Speaking of things that people want, Sony have decided that no, you cannot customize your PlayStation 5. There was a company that started up called Plate Station, I believe.
Great name. Great name.
Plate Station 5. They were asked, as you've no doubt seen, the PlayStation 5 has those big white plates on it, so
yeah, I think they can miss it.
PlayStation 5 decided that they were going to offer a different option, so you could customize your PlayStation 5. Sony said, no, you're infringing on our trademark, so the website changed to Customize My Plates, and then Sony said no.
That's not what you were infringing on. It's not PlayStation we were about. It's the customization.
I mean, it was probably both.
I mean, yeah, probably.
their Sony's intellectual property extended to the faceplates. So if they sell and distribute them, they'll end up in court. So they have now refunded anyone who had pre-ordered and shut down the site.
It's such a shame because the renders look so gorgeous. Like some of them look so good, especially the chrome ones and the texture. I didn't really like the texture of the original where it's kind of like, I don't know, like not embossed, but a bit bobbly. It's kind of like someone's wallpaper. It wasn't really about that, but yeah, the chrome and the matte finishes and some of them, the renders looked great.
The site that I shared in the Discord, it shows an image of four of them and then just a blank green square in the top right corner. I don't know what's happened there.
I really like the look of some of them, but I assume this is just because the Sony are going to start releasing their own.
I think that's
100%.
They're obviously going to sell their own. The thing is, people were like really light up in arms about the fact that PS4 didn't do this, weren't they?
Oh, they did, yeah. Didn't they?
Well, the PS4 had that. The original PS4 had that like glossy half that you could slide off, didn't it?
Yeah, that was it.
And everyone was like, "Oh, yeah, this is going to be great." You slide it off, and you slide like a custom one on, and Sony, as far as I can remember, Sony never did anything with it. I think you could get like some custom ones that non-Sony branded ones you could get, but Sony never did anything with it. And maybe there was a plan then, and they've just gone all out with it now. Maybe they'll end up not doing anything with it again. But
yeah,
I think it's safe to assume their idea at the minute is to create their own custom plates rather than it's probably it may even replace the whole like, look, we've made a Last of Us PlayStation for you to buy. Might as well, like, it's Master's plates for the only PlayStation.
Those things are much cooler, though, aren't they? When you get a full-on customized like console with a controller and stuff like that. I always remember seeing some really cool old ones. Like, I remember seeing a Final Fantasy 13 one that was like bright white, and then it had a pink outline of lightning on the actual, like, sort of spray painted on the PS3, which was really cool. I found replaceable faceplates, like, it's nice. But it kind of, what's the point? Like I was a bit like that with the 360 as well, which the 360 had it, didn't it, at one point where you could take off the front bit. And yeah, it's nice, so you can customize it a little bit, but they always look kind of cheap looking, I think, instead of like actually interesting designed pieces of, I guess, art at this point.
Yeah, the 3DS, I think, very similar. The new 3DS. But I think that they made it a little bit better, but still then I still have that same feeling of it's a bit cheap and tacky. Although I'm hoping that if they do plan on making their own, like their own faceplates, I want to see what they did with the PS4 and made like a PlayStation Classic version of the PS4. I want to see a PlayStation 2 version of a PlayStation 5 where it's like it's all black and it's got the PS2 logo. Like
they do the PS5, like for Sony's next big anniversary. They do like a PS1, a PS2, a PS3, and a PS4 version. So they've just got like proper like grey PS1
looking. Oh, they did that with the PS4. I want to see the PS2 with the PS5. And instead of the little two, like the thin line of the PS2, it's like PS, just flip it around. It's a five, easy. Yeah. And and also, you know, the stand, the base where the PS2 was like a beautiful blue gradient. Just base. They could just so easily do that. I hope that's if they make that, I will definitely consider picking up a PS5 for sure.
That's going to be a limited edition console. It's not going to be a faceplate. They're not going to sell faceplates because they make so much money on special edition consoles.
As someone with a Spider-Man PS4, you are correct.
Yeah. Without a segue, our next news piece.
A far cry from that segue.
Oh,
you're replaced, Ace.
I am humbled. Yes, Winks. A far cry from that last piece is Far Cry 6 has been delayed until doesn't really say when.
just indefinitely, I guess, at this point.
Apologize for introducing the most ambitious game in the series to date with an immersive fantasy to lead a modern day guerrilla revolution. Because everyone's working from home, so we're taking some more time to do it.
Must specify, they didn't apologize for introducing their most ambitious game, which is what it sounded like what you said. It sounded like what you said was, we're sorry that we're just creating a really ambitious game right now. We can't really dedicate all our time to that. So it's still like, no, they covered it up saying, Far Cry 6 is a really big game and it is impressive. And because of the current situation, it's being delayed, basically, which is fair enough, I think.
That's always good news, like, to hear that, like, you're not making developers crunch. And that got me kind of thinking, like, how you have fair trade stickers for fruit and produce, where you know where it's kind of come from. You know, it's, you can have like a fair trade sticker for or at least you have approval for
fair trade games.
Yeah, so like this game has no MSG, no preservatives, no crunch.
Well, I am upset that Far Cry 6 has been delayed because it means I am now further away from hearing Giancarlo Esposito's next performance.
To get us away from Far Cry, but keep on Ubisoft a little bit, I'm shocked that Far Cry 6 got delayed and Watch Dogs has been launched in the absolute shit state that it's currently in, which is basically unplayable on Xboxes. Like, what's going on with that? Yeah, like,
it's overheating Xbox X's and soft bricking them until they cool down.
Oh God!
Xbox One S, there is a random crash issue which they've had at least one patch out which has not resolved yet. God.
Jesus!
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't your home having a first hand experience with this, Ace?
Yes, that is correct. My wife is playing it at the moment, and every so often I'll hear a scream and a threat to throw the controller because it has crashed yet again.
Jesus. Oh, wow. That's insane.
Is it as bad as the reports are saying, then, Ace, do you think? Or?
On Xbox One S, yes. I do not have a X, so I cannot confirm or deny if that is still ongoing.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
Crazy. It's mental that a game can be doing that. Like,
When the patch notes specify which models certain fixes are for, it's not good luck.
No.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's insane. I assume they just didn't test it that way.
But the thing is, it's not a good looking game, really, is it? Like, it's not. It's so bland, like the animations and the character models are so like...
Oh, the lip flaps are awful. They do not match what is going on at all. It's yeah, this is a game in 2020 from Ubisoft and it can't
do
the...
It's an English-speaking game from an English-speaking company.
Are they English-speaking?
Maybe French.
Yeah, well, French, I assume they speak natively English.
Based in England, like, they had a French game, was it Assassin's Creed the French edition, where everyone spoke like Cockneys.
What?
Oh yeah, that was class. You go to Paris and you're like, all right, geez, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, hang on.
What? I'm so confused. Why does this exist?
Exactly. Well, you know what Shigeru Miyamoto said, you know, a delayed game is eventually good, but a rush game can be fixed with a day one crunch patch. So,
not too off topic, but there was a hard drive article somewhat recently about Shigeru Miyamoto delaying things. I don't know if you saw that, it was hilarious. Says Shigeru Miyamoto delays orgasm to improve quality or something.
Sting.
Yeah, maybe Shigeru Miyamoto is just Sting, I don't know.
And our final news piece, which will tie into our main topic to end the episode, Shadowlands, the latest expansion for World of Warcraft, has the highest pre-sales of any expansion in the game's history. And the subscriber count to the game has doubled since the launch of World of Warcraft Classic, according to the third quarter calendar 2020 conference call.
Do you all remember when...
The main topic that I put down was, can anything stop World of Warcraft? And can it do it now, please?
Do you all remember when, about a couple of years ago, when everyone said they were never going to subscribe to World of Warcraft because of Blizzard's treatment of people in Hong Kong?
And now yes, it's the most popular I am old enough to remember that.
Yeah, I remember that too. I also remember not long before that, everyone was saying that World of Warcraft was on its knees and was never going to recover. Apparently, all they needed to do was oppress people, and that got it back on its feet. So,
what I've heard about. So I'll address the classic thing. Like, people bought into classic because people wanted to play old World of Warcraft.
Mm.
People don't want to play new World of Warcraft.
Comments on the Reddit post do seem to say people are going to come from Classic to Shadowlands and be like, no, this isn't what I want at all.
Pretty much. But those people are still paying for it, though. So who's the real losers?
Yeah. You're saying, can a game stop World of Warcraft? I think, and I've done a bit of, that's why kind of what I was preparing. I was doing a bit of research on the comparison between Final Fantasy 14 and World of Warcraft, because I think there are only two big MMOs that are worth talking about that are paid for, like that have a paid subscription fee. And I think it's WoW and Final Fantasy 14. Because the rest have either gone free to play like Elder Scrolls Online did, or they're in a different kind of
world. Elder Scrolls isn't free to play though, is it? It's buy the game.
And no, then it's free to play.
The base game is, but they still sell expansions for full price. So, like, to get into the current crop of content, you still need to get past the paying for the expansion.
Sure. So it's not a subscription-based game, though, is it? And it is free to play. I mean, okay, I'll use the Nintendo's way of saying it. It's free to start.
Yeah, but you can say that. You can say that about Final Fantasy 14, then, because that base game and... Well, you can play all of the base game and the first expansion on that, which is...
They call it a free trial instead of a like access to the game, whereas I guess that's
how about games that have an ongoing subscription?
Yeah, we'll stop being pedantic and call it games that have an ongoing subscription. I feel like there's only two we're talking about. It's WoW and Final Fantasy 14.
Are there any other MMOs that have a subscription? Like, I feel like all of them just moved away from it, didn't they? Really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Because ultimately, so many people either pay for WoW or Final Fantasy that to even have a hope of having an audience of an MMO, you can't really risk being paid to play every month. Because people will just go, well, I'll just go stick to WoW then. Sorry.
Especially when stuff like Game Pass is coming out now and people are going to be starting paying for that. That's just another thing that people are paying for. Like, it gets a lot at the end of the day, doesn't it? When you're paying for like five different subscriptions. Not worth it. But I think the point I was trying to make is that a lot of people moved from WoW, or like there's at least a base of people who went from World of Warcraft to Final Fantasy 14 and do not want to go back. And I know a few people, and I've been watching videos now, like when I was doing some research, that are genuinely moving, of old World of Warcraft players talking about how much they dislike World of Warcraft now, or how much they've disliked it for a number of years, and that they've moved on to Final Fantasy and found everything that they wanted within that game.
I wonder if there's any World of Warcraft players who dislike World of Warcraft and want something different, but can't get over the Japan of Final Fantasy.
I'm sure there are plenty of those types of people as well, to be fair.
We can make our own. We can land of Lovecraft. There we go.
Land of Lovecraft.
Yeah, it's definitely not World of Warcraft.
Is it Lovecraftian?
No.
Yeah.
No, stop.
This is what I was concerned about. I just see cat people in Final Fantasy, and then you talk about World of Land of Lovecraft, and I'm like, oh no, cat people.
I think the biggest issue with modern MMOs is that people who got into MMOs years and years and years ago miss the hardcoreness that the original MMO wave had. Mm-hmm. Like, I know so many people who prefer Final Fantasy as an MMO, but don't like Final Fantasy 14, because compared to Final Fantasy 11, it's just a pile of piss. Like, it's just, you go in, you click buttons, and you win. Like,
and it's just
like,
WoW. It's literally just WoW.
Yeah, which is what WoW does, but WoW didn't used to do that. And I think there's just a fan base of MMOs who are floating around looking for the a cool hardcore one, but I don't think either of them really offer it. Like, I'm not particularly good at MMOs, and I'm not particularly good at Final Fantasy. I'm not even that big a fan of Final Fantasy. And even a clueless me in Final Fantasy 4 online was like, this is easy.
yeah, absolutely. It is. Like, I've been playing it for like hours now, I guess. And it is, it's pretty easy. You can just get through content. And I think the story's decent enough to get you through.
I think the thing with Final Fantasy as well is that to just a casual audience member, when you look at the two, Final Fantasy looks a hell of a lot better than World of Warcraft does.
It's not, it's still hard as well. World of Warcraft is, how old is World of Warcraft now?
Yeah, it's about 15, 16 years old now. And I do understand that. But, you know, like, to other people, though, when you look at things, visuals mean quality to a lot of people. I mean, they see Final Fantasy 4, and they'll be like, oh, cool, I can make something so much more different to WoW, where I can, like, oh, look, I'm a gnome, I can change this here and what color it is.
Yeah.
Star Trek Online turned 10, and it looks like a 10-year-old game.
Final Fantasy 14 is a 10-year-old game.
Is that including when it was nuked and turned off for a bit, or?
I don't know. When was it, actually? I think, when was a Realm Reborn? Sorry, you're here typing. A Realm Reborn's 2013. So the original Final Fantasy 14 was 2010. And then what we're running off now is 2013. So it's a 7-year-old game.
When did they shut it, when they first released it? You remember?
I don't know.
Remember, that was a big deal, wasn't it? Like, it was just, literally, they just...
Well, it had straight up just failed. The game had just straight up failed.
Well, it almost ruined it for anything. They dedicated
so much time and effort into making it the success that it is, and that it is debatably, at least, either number one or number two in the MMO, you know, sphere. And it is debatable. There are even Blizzard message boards asking which one is better. Like, people who play World of Warcraft are like, is Final Fantasy better? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's just something that happens in all fandoms. I mean, you can go on the EA boards of FIFA and people will ask if PES is better.
Well, my point there is, I typed in Final Fantasy 14 versus World of Warcraft, and there wasn't a single Square Enix board, apart from the actual Steam information store, that said, is this game better than WoW or should I play WoW? But there's like loads of Blizzard dedicated forums that are talking about whether they should go to Final Fantasy 14 or not.
So people want to know if Final Fantasy is better, but people don't want to know if World of Warcraft is better.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with it, though. Like, can anything stop World of Warcraft? Final Fantasy might be a better game, might look better, might do everything better. But as far as I'm aware, Final Fantasy 14 doesn't even have a million subscribers, and WoW has at least 2 million.
Something.
No, they've got like 50 million active users, but paying subscribers is less than a million. Yeah. Whereas World of Warcraft, I can't remember. When was the last time it dipped below 2 million? I can't even think. But even after upping the prices, they were still hitting 2.5 million a month. And I can only assume that's going to about to shoot up with Shadowlands coming out, because it usually gets a little bump, doesn't it?
Expansions do that anyway, don't they? An expansion will come out, it'll shoot up, and then it'll shoot back down again whenever people are done with the content.
But I think as long as there's such a gap between World of Warcraft and its nearest competitor, like Final Fantasy, I can't see anything stopping it. Because you'd think with Final Fantasy, the benefit of it would have at least the Asian market on its side. But even with that, it's...
The Asian market's playing a lot of the sort of... I mean, depending on what you mean by the Asian market. But obviously, there are a lot of really, really hardcore Korean MMOs. Like, is it Black Desert Online?
Black Desert, yeah.
Really popular one there. I think a lot of them were playing Phantasy Star Online 2, which has just come out in the West as well. MMOs are, I guess, a big place for lots of games. But, yeah, I don't know.
World of Warcraft is going to last for a bit longer. Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Rhodes, Winx, and Velt. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com to find out all the things we've been talking about in this episode and more. Keep an eye on wherever social media is posted. Just search for GameGrin for all the latest news, reviews, etc. Thank you for listening and for subscribing across Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else. Don't forget that leaving a review, comment, or follow really helps the show out. And while you're at it, game on.